What's up, everybody? It's your man, Brother Red. We're back. We're talking Snyder Cut with our man, Son L. And Son, let's get into it. Who is your favorite Justice League member? Who are you looking forward to seeing on the big screen the most?
Here's the thing, man. My favorite is Superman, hands down. Superman is, he's what he is, Superman. He's my favorite one. There's no one will be as almighty as he is. You know, always trying to be, he's what a hero is. He's trying always to be the best version of himself. And if everyone, he brings the hope and the good in everyone. So technically, I would tell you Superman is my favorite. But I'm going to tell you who's my second favorite. Because I feel that he might not be, well, I'm not going to say he's not the favorite of a lot. But my second favorite one is definitely Green Lantern. But not Hal Jordan. I didn't grow up with him. I know you grew up with him. I didn't. I grew up with my boy, Jon Stewart. Hands down, he has to be my second favorite. I mean, I started watching the Justice League cartoons again, the one I was watching as a kid, man. This guy cracks me up, man. Whenever Flash tries to tell a joke, Jon Stewart looks at him with a, like, are you serious, bro? Like, are you serious right now? You know, he's this leader that I like. A serious man who's not going to joke around when there's a serious threat coming, you know. And that's what I really like about him, his leadership. Because there's no Batman, there's no Superman. There's no Wonder Woman, there's no problem. Jon Stewart will be able to lead the team to success. And that's what I really like about him. Not saying that Hal Jordan doesn't have those qualities, but I didn't grow up watching him. So he would be my second favorite one. Third one, I must say Aquaman. And it was mostly because of my dad, because he grew up watching Aquaman. That was his favorite one. And I wasn't really into Aquaman, but ever since he passed away, you know, he's got a, you know, I started like Aquaman just slightly more. Those would be my top three. I'll let you tell me your top three or top five, whatever you want to, how many members you want to say.
Okay. All right. I would say for me, my favorite, I got to go with you. Number one's got to be Superman, you know. Everybody, you know, I would say Batman is the fan favorite. Everybody, Batman, Batman, Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
I grew up in an era
Batman's
where,
always ready, you know.
Yeah, I grew up, you know, my era coming up, you know, learning about superheroes, reading comic books and stuff. And, you know, Batman was, you know, wasn't the man. You know, Superman was always the man. You know, as Marvel made Wolverine kind of like the dark anti-hero, you know, DC cashed in on that. And then, you know, when they came out with the Batman movie, the first one with Michael Keaton that Tim Burton directed, that's when his star just, you know, he became like the face of DC. But prior to that, you know, in I would say a strong majority of my youth, Superman. So definitely Superman. Number two for me, my second favorite character of the Justice League has always been the Flash. That's my dude. You know, because as a kid, I was fast. So Barry Allen and then Kid Flash, Wally West, like all those guys. I was always disappointed in all the Super Friends cartoons and stuff coming up as a kid. That, you know, they never did show Kid Flash that much. You know, if hardly ever, you know. Now, Robin was always hanging out with Batman, you know, Batman and Robin. And Robin was a member of the Super Friends, you know, which was like the cartoon version of the Justice League back in the day. But no Kid Flash. But, yeah, I would say Superman, Flash, and probably my third favorite is Martian Manhunter. You know, I really like Martian Manhunter. I like the fact that, like, one of the alter egos that he took, he chose to you know, shape shift into the form of a black dude, which I thought was pretty cool, you know, because he could have picked anybody he wanted, and that's what he chose. So I always thought that was cool. So, and John Jones, J-Ons, I don't know how to pronounce it exactly, but
yeah, I think it's John, I call it John Jones.
Yeah, that's why I call him John Jones. He's probably my, honestly. Superman is my all-time favorite character, period. But just as a member of the Justice League, I would probably catapult him even above the Flash and say that he's even above Superman. He's my favorite Justice League member in the heart and soul of the Justice League, in my opinion. You know, John Jones. And I thought that one of the great versions of the Justice League was the one on the cartoon that they had that you grew up with, your era, and with him and John Stewart being the primary leaders of the group. I thought those two guys definitely held it down and could argue and say that they are better leaders than Superman and Batman were. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, but I would say they're better leaders, by far better leaders. And not only that, but Martian Manhunter would be smarter than Batman, but he's also the brains of the whole team. You know, he might not be the powerhouse, but he is definitely the brains of the Justice League.
And people, I would tell people, do not sleep on the powers of Martian Manhunter. Superman has said that out of all the Justice League members, he feels the biggest threat to him is Martian Manhunter. And he actually thinks that John Jones, if he ever got over the mental block, because there's no real physical impediment that he has to fire. I mean, the guy can turn himself intangible. So fire really theoretically should not do anything to him, because, oh, there's fire, I'll just go intangible and it can't do anything to me. But because of all the trauma and the traumatic scars that he has, that is really his only vulnerability. And he's got, now he's not probably as strong as Superman, but he's nearly as physically powerful as Superman, has pretty much all his other abilities, plus all the telekinetic abilities, the abilities, like I said, to be able to basically turn himself like transparent or invisible, to be able to phase through stuff and become intangible, the mental capabilities that he has as far as being probably DC's most powerful, or one of the very most powerful psychics in the entire DC universe, and possibly the most powerful psychic. So you're talking about a guy who's got, like, if you want to mix comic universes, he's got the mental capabilities of Professor X with the physical abilities of Superman, and then a consort of all these other little side abilities that, you know, hey, Martian Manhunter ain't no joke.
Yeah, he's like you said, he's basically just a Superman version of Professor X, and yeah, I feel like the fire is kind of a silliness, but I guess, like you said, with all the trauma he suffered and everything, it makes perfect sense. Plus, nobody is unbeatable; everybody has a weakness of some sort. And I would just add to John Stewart, what would you say that makes John Stewart like likable and, you know, likable compared to Hal Jordan?
Well, I tell you what, the way he was depicted in the cartoon, which I thought was really good, because, you know, he gave him a military background and he had some of that. Originally, I know his original character, he was introduced like, I want to say like 71 or in 70s. I think it was like either 1970 or 71. You know, he was an architect, but he was, concentrated, you know, wanted to do stuff where, projects where, yeah, it's helping people. He always had that in him. And so it was, you know, really good to see, you know, DC flesh that out more with the animated series. And then following that up in the comic books, he's gone through a lot. You know, this guy, he literally destroyed a planet and had to have that weigh on his conscience and dealing with all that, this thing about being a Green Lantern, he's a galactic super cop. Like, he is the top cop for the entire planet. And the Earth is just one of his planets in his sector. You know, there's like other planets in the sector, basically in the Milky Way galaxy, our galaxy, more or less, that's his sector. You know what I'm saying? So, to see him with the leadership, to me, that's the biggest quality. And I think that's what people like, is what you're saying. Like, for all intents and purposes, he is a stand-up guy. Like, that's the one thing that you can say about John Stewart, no matter what. That guy, he's a stand-up guy. He doesn't leave anybody behind, and he's willing to sacrifice. And when you have those qualities, Batman doesn't always seem like he's willing to sacrifice. Like, he'll sacrifice somebody, but not himself. Per se. You know what I mean? Like, Batman, he'll use like a minor character as a pawn, and well, you know, we'll try to go get them later if we can. And, you know, sometimes there's not follow up on, you know, some stuff that he does. But, like, that's one thing about John Stewart. Nobody's getting left behind on his watch.
Yeah, and one thing to add to John Stewart, one of the episodes I saw was that he, I don't know if it's the same planet that you're talking about, but he destroyed a planet by accident because, yeah, you know, he was controlling.
Yep.
And when the, I guess, quote unquote, the judges send the police, quote unquote, but the galactic police to go look for him.
The Manhunters. Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't go there like, oh, no, I'm going to hide and run away. He gave himself up like, hey, no, I'm responsible for what I did, so take me away. You had like Flash, Superman, Wonder Woman, all of them like trying to, like, no, what are you doing? He took, you know, kind of deleted what I did, you know, and I'm gonna turn myself in, even though it turned out to be false because he didn't destroy a planet. I got another person was framing him, so, but you know, I like how he took that accountability, like, hey, you know what, I screwed up, it's time for me to pay my punishment. So, just indeed. To add that to what you were saying,
indeed. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a good place to end it.
Hi, welcome back to No Vultures, the last recording of the Zack Snyder Cut that we've been talking about. My name is Son L, and I'm here with Brother Red. And today, in the final part, we're going to be talking about the biggest addition to, I would say, to the movie, which is Darkseid. Darkseid is, to any person that watches DC, either the comics, cartoons, whatever, toys, you know Darkseid is the real deal. And here, Brother Red is about to give us a bigger inside knowledge on who Darkseid is, because I know about Darkseid, but I'm not well informed about him, and I don't want to give the wrong information about Darkseid. So, if Brother Red, would you like to take it from here and let us know who Darkseid is?
Okay, appreciate that. Yes, most definitely. He is probably, if Darkseid is not my favorite villain, he's definitely in my top five. There's some other guys, but we're not talking about those other guys right now. We're talking about Darkseid. First thing I want to put out there right now, don't get it twisted. All you Marvel fans, all you pseudo comic book fans who think you know something about comic books, this is that dude. Thanos was built off of Darkseid. Darkseid is the architect. Thanos was constructed and thought of because of Darkseid. Okay, so they gets no more evil than Darkseid. In fact, his whole sole purpose in life is to find what is called the anti-life equation. And basically that means you will submit all of your will. You will submit to Darkseid. You will bend the knee to Darkseid. And ultimately, all of the universe must bend to the will of Darkseid. So that's who we're dealing with here. So this guy's not on, oh, I'm doing this because I want to help out all of life across the universe, so I've got to kill half of it so we can sustain. Darkseid gives no cares about sustaining anything but Darkseid and everything that is Darkseid. So that's what we're dealing with. He was first introduced to us by a legendary comic book creator, the godfather of all comic books, Jack the King Kirby, for the Fourth World saga that he created. He was introduced to us, first appearance, had a small cameo in Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, number 134, in November of 1970. He made a full appearance in The Forever People, number 1, February 1971. His given name, his true name, is Uas. He is a new god. He hails from Apocalypse. He is a member of the New Gods, which is basically Jack Kirby's take on Thor, actually. And if you go back and read old Tales of Asgard that Jack Kirby wrote, you will see where he picks up
because he actually wanted to enact Ragnarok for Thor. But during that time, Thor had become so popular for Marvel that it was like, you know, no, we're not going to kill one of our cash cows. And so what he did was he adapted those stories that he wanted to do for that with Thor and have that saga. And so he created the New Gods, and he created Darkseid and Highfather and New Genesis and Apocalypse. Bear in mind, he had also fleshed these ideas out in Marvel with the Inhumans and then also with the Eternals. So this is something that, you know, had been going on with Jack Kirby and seeing this through and having this epic tale. And so essentially, when he introduces Darkseid, a little background story is he is the son of King Yuga Khan and Queen Hegra, and he's in second to the line of the throne of Apocalypse. You can find all this stuff out if you go to DC's main page, or you can go to one of the wiki pages and find out. Basically, he had an older brother named Drax, and Drax was trying to get the Omega Force, and so Uos, which is Darkseid, murdered him and claimed the Mega Force for himself, thus the Mega Effect, which I'm excited. I hope that he puts the Mega Effect on somebody in this movie. And that's one thing that we might see. Somebody might die in Zack Snyder's cut, you know, if they have him have Darkseid unleash the Omega Beams. So basically, what happened was after he killed his older brother Drax, to get the Omega Force, he was transformed, and that's how he turned into what he looks like today. His skin was turned to stone, and he basically what he said is he renamed himself Darkseid, and he fell in love with a scientist, and she was also a sorceress named Suli, and he had his son, the Savage Kalibak, another character that I'm hoping that we will see. But his mother, Hegra, told Desaad, who was, if you think like King of, or if you think Game of Thrones, think the Hand of the Throne. And that's who Desaad is. And so she had Desaad poison Darkseid's bride because she felt like that Suli felt like that, or I'm sorry, Queen Hegra felt like Suli was poisoning Darkseid against her. So basically, this just turned Darkseid's heart completely cold, total hate for his mother, especially when she made him marry a woman named Tigra, who he had another son, which is Orion. And so basically, he ordered Desaad to poison his mother so he could become the supreme monarch of Apocalypse. And so he also tried to have Tigra, the woman who he was forced to marry, murder Orion. But what ended up happening is to come to a peace treaty with New Genesis, he traded his son, which is Orion, for Highfather's son, which is Scott Free, also known as the Miracle Man. And so, Mr. Miracle, my bad. And so essentially what you had is, we won't kill you because you've got my son, and you won't kill me because, or I won't kill you because I've got your son. So that's basically what happened there with this, you know, this peace treaty. And so eventually, the stories, you've seen them in the cartoons, Apocalypse, Granny Goodness, the Furies, and, you know, basically the torture chamber that is the dungeons of Darkseid. And so, Mr. Miracle was able to escape the dungeons of Darkseid. And once he escaped, Darkseid said, okay, well, you know what? Since he escaped, the war's back on. There is no more peace treaty. And basically, this is where Kirby brought in the Ragnarok aspect of Thor, is he prophesied, or he made it a prophecy of the new gods, that Orion would kill his father, which would complete the cycle of the new gods, basically ushering in another phase of new gods. So that was kind of like his version of trying to tell the tale of Ragnarok. But it was kind of like a dark, twisted version of that. So that's Darkseid. And then, go ahead. Yeah, and then what happened was, and this is what happens in comic books a lot, as the years go by, both Marvel and DC have done this. They reshuffle the order and reshuffle the deck, and they kind of revamp the characters to give them a fresh new spin for whatever era they're in. So we've got different stories also. So I'm interested to see which parts of the story of Darkseid that Snyder is going to rely on. I think one thing that we can look for particularly, I think this came up like in the New 52, where Darkseid, and this also came up in Final Crisis, where they allude to basically Darkseid having a history with Earth and coming to try to conquer Earth once before, and being, you know, fighting with Themyscira and the Amazons, and also the old gods of this earth, like Zeus and that, the pantheon of the Greek gods, because he was told, or someone told him, that they had information about how to get the anti-life equation, because they had information about the life equation. So he figured, well, if they know about that, then they know about the other. So that's a little bit of information, because what he wants to do is eliminate all free will from the universe and reshape the universe in his own image. Okay, so this is the scale of the type of cat that we're dealing with. Okay, so Thanos, you know, small potatoes. Like, you know, much of what Thanos does is because of his love, which they didn't get into with the Avengers stuff, but his love for Lady Death and all that type of stuff. Darkseid has no love. There is no love. Darkseid loves nothing. Right.
Just a question I want to, not a question, but more like I'm going to tell you, just because, like I said, I don't really know much about Darkseid, but I'm going to tell you my favorite moment that I've seen so far from Darkseid was when I was reading the, well, you can, well, it's not really a comic because it was pretty big, the graphic novel you lent me, Crisis of Infinite Earths, remember?
Yes.
And at the end, I really like how Superman's fighting the Anti-Monitor towards the end of the comic, and Darkseid helps Superman beat him. It's like,
right.
And like I said, I've told you, my favorite story is just when I get to see the main hero and their arch nemesis team up to be a common foe. And I really like how Darkseid says, me and Superman are not in the same page, but today we're fighting for the same cause, which is basically beat the Anti-Monitor.
Right, right. Yeah, and you know, and like you said, that was, you know, one of DC's probably its most epic tale and its greatest tale, which is Crisis on Infinite Earths. Which at the time they were trying to bring the continuity down to just, you know, one universe, and they ended up blowing all that up. But still, yeah, to see that was pretty cool. Are there any other questions that we have for Darkseid, or are we pretty much covered there?
This one, just a quick answer. Just a quick question. Who would win? This is just random, so I'll just throw it in there. Dr. Manhattan or Darkseid? Who would you think would win?
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, that is a relevant question, because we do know that, you know, now the Watchmen, because of Warner Brothers and them, you know, buying the rights, and having the rights to the Watchmen. So we do know that they are in the DC universe proper. We've yet to see them, be introduced into the DCEU, but it may happen, you know, because of the multiple universes, there's no reason for them not to be there. I would say Dr. Manhattan, simply because he's basically like a living Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, he, like, time to him is not linear. Everything happens all at once. So he knows literally everything that's going to happen before it happens because he's seen it. Like, he sees everything in real time. So it would be hard for me to say that Darkseid could get with Dr. Manhattan. But it's interesting because, you know, like, you know, I shared with you the Doomsday clock, where they introduce, you know, Dr. Manhattan, and you know, and they didn't really show Darkseid too much in there at all. I don't even know if he was referenced in there, because if, you know, it was focused on the heroes. Yeah, because that was more of a Superman theme type of deal. But still, I don't know if Darkseid's getting with Manhattan, but that's a heck of a question. And if anybody wants to call in to the show or drop us a line, do that with comments on that. We'd love to hear that. Only other thing I do want to mention before we get up out of here, because I know we're getting close to it, is I do want to mention some of the other appearances. And Darkseid's first appearance into the mainstream was actually when he was introduced in a cartoon, which was, I believe it was called Superpowers Galactic Universe. It really long name, but basically what it was about, it was the Super Friends, and then they introduced some newer characters that DC had developed. Cyborg, interestingly, was a member of that iteration of the Justice League, as well as Firestorm. And the big bad villain for that was Darkseid. And so that was Darkseid and the Parademons and Deicide and Kalibak. That was their first introduction into you know, the mainstream, so to speak, was through that cartoon that followed up, you know, that was the one that followed the wildly successful, you know, Super Friends. And really, the reason why DC created that was for a toy line that they were coming out with, which was in direct competition for Marvel's toy line that they had coming out, which led to the epic Secret Wars, which when you compare Secret Wars, because that came out, you know, really those comics were only made because of the toy line. And then you've seen Secret Wars compared to Crisis on Infinite Earths. As a kid, you know, you thought Secret Wars was great. But then as you got a little bit older, at least for me, once I got to be a teenager and I started really collecting the Crisis on Infinite Earths, it's like, okay, man, there's no comparison. Yeah, there's no, like, DC, the writing's way better than Marvel. The stories, you know, are much more meaningful. And so that's where you kind of see, you know, saw that difference, you know, because the mega event for DC just totally murked the mega event for Marvel, you know, and the subsequent event, Secret Wars 2, which totally sucked as well for Marvel. I mean, both of those, the writing, Jim Shooter was a writer. The writing was pretty atrocious. We did get to see the appearance of the black costume Spider-Man, but we ain't talking about that right now. We talking about Darkseid. But yeah, that was Darkseid's first appearance to the mainstream, was in that Superpowers Galactic, I believe it was called, like, yeah, Superpowers Galactic Guardians of the Universe, something like that. And so basically, yeah, they were guarding the universe against Darkseid. You know, so, and it was cool because, you know, he had minions. Darkseid teamed up with Lex Luthor. He teamed up with Brainiac to help him bring his vision of what he wanted to happen for the universe. But even then, those guys were like, okay, this dude is something different. Like, you know, this dude is way more powerful than anything we've ever seen.
Well, I wonder, will Lex Luthor, you know, because rumor had it Lex Luthor was going to be in Zack Snyder cut. I wonder if he's going to communicate with Darkseid some way or another. That would be interesting to watch.
Well, yeah, you know, and you know, one of the very interesting things, and this is just a side note, but we're going to wrap it here in just a sec, but I want to get your thoughts on this. One of the things that that is very interesting, as I was doing, you know, like I said, we do our DITC, digging in the crates to do the knowledge. And, you know, I'm going back and I'm reading old Dark Side comics, you know, stuff that has his info in there. One of the things that I noticed was Intergang. And this character, which you've probably heard if you, and I know you watch Supergirl, is Morgan Edge. And it's interesting that, like, this Morgan Edge character was very similar to a Jane Jonah Jameson, except for he was like kind of like the TV version of this, of J. Jonah Jameson or Perry White, but he had a nefarious plan. He was a member of this thing called Intergang, which was basically this super criminal organization. Like, you know, it's kind of like DC's version of Hydra. But, and this was like way back, you know, in the 60s and 70s. And that's kind of like a slept on thing for a lot of comic book fans that think that, oh, you know, Marvel has the best of this and that. It was like, no, it's just that the history of a lot of this stuff, because DC actually has a longer history than Marvel. So a lot of that stuff gets buried. But yeah, like Intergang, man, they've been around a long, long time. And basically, they were reporting to Darkseid. Yeah, so it's like, so like even back then, like the biggest, baddest, worst villainous organization known to man on Earth reported to him. And he wasn't even really, it was just like, and that was before he was really about the full onslaught and conquest of Earth. It was just like, you will do my bidding. And they were like, yeah, this guy, Superman ain't nothing compared to this dude.
Oh, yeah, no, we don't want to mess with, piss off this guy.
Yeah, yeah, like we can deal with Superman. This dude's a whole nother level.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope if this movie becomes a success, which I think it will, hopefully it leads up to Justice League 2, and where we could see Darkseid in action, because I don't think he'll have action in this movie, at least not in the real world. In the nightmare scene, he probably will, but in the real world, he won't be there. So, but hopefully we do get to see him in Justice League 2 or 3, or, you know, however they want to build it up.
Word up.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I tell you what, looks like that's a good place to end it and put a wrap on everything. So we want to thank everybody for taking the time to listen to our takes on the Snyder Cut and what we're looking forward to. Sonel, go ahead and you take it from here and you take us away.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. I appreciate it. And thank you, Brother Red, for letting me come here to your podcast. I appreciate it. It was a great experience for me. Something I've never done. So, and it was great to for you to lend me some of your time to hear, you know, for you to hear my thoughts on the Zack Snyder cut and, you know, and whatever we want to see in the future of this movie and this franchise, because it's a franchise. It's not just a movie, you know, the whole DC extended universe. So thank you very much.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, man. And this is your man, Brother Red, with Sonel. You're listening to No Vultures. And as always, remind you, do the knowledge. Peace.
Peace. Thank you.